Definitely. I mean, I'm so glad you've brought that up. I mean, our study focused on tobacco smoke, but the vaping almost epidemic is just as bad. And if not the vaping, while tobacco smoke has tobacco and all those harmful impacts, it's still nicotine. And nicotine from both tobacco smoke and from vaping has significant impacts on us adults, as well as pregnant women, children, and even the unborn fetus. So I think it's something we really need to make people aware of.
I think I'm probably going to get a flurry of dislikes on the WhatsApp line
I'm sure.
in a couple of minutes.
I'm so used to it.
But you know, Professor, I mean, even in the malls now, you find people just taking their chances because the way vaping is marketed, so suave, debonair, it's a so-called, and I put this in air quotes, a so-called healthy alternative. Are you kidding me right now? All of that coming from that little electronic device, that surely cannot be a so-called healthy alternative. How dangerous, before we get to the traditional smoking, how dangerous is vaping actually around a pregnant woman?
Vaping is equally dangerous. So the problem with many of the vapes and or electronic nicotine device delivery devices is that it's totally unregulated. So as you say, it's available. While we have tobacco smoking control, vapes are sold in the malls. There's stalls popping up everywhere. And so it's the nicotine, which often is the direct impact, but it's the chemicals that are released, the volatile organic compounds, as you know from our cigarette, our paper, we'll talk about that. But these chemicals are all there, and people don't realize that when we inhale it on a micro level, it goes through, particularly to pregnant women, in through to their bloodstream, placenta, the babies are exposed, and it has impacts on their development.
Now, Professor, what prompted you and your team to investigate the impact of indoor air pollution and tobacco smoke and the impacts it can have on a newborn's health? Is it because it's become so commonplace these days?
I think so. I think what triggered this is we know that many people live in challenging home environments, environmental conditions, not the same. We've shown that people have access to electricity. It's still expensive. We've came to a time of severe load shedding. So often people have to use other fuel for household energy, you know, things like paraffin, coal, wood, and in more rural or less affluent communities, people burn whatever is available. And these things cause pollution in the homes. They're small, often which lack ventilation. And so we needed to really understand how these environmental impacts pollutants impact on health. And we also know that many children have issues growing. Importantly, what happens to us when we are older starts very early in life. So we are very aware that what your lung health or how your lungs develop into adulthood is actually set very, very early from the time you're born and from the impacts and the insults that you have throughout your life will then determine what happens later when you have that asthma or when you have that chronic cough later in life. It's probably started very early. So that's what prompted it. Additionally, we know we live in a community where tobacco smoking, you said vaping and tobacco smoking, is still very high. And we needed to understand in our communities, in our populations, what these impacts were.
Now, certainly your study has produced some key findings. And I think if you can maybe shed light on some of that, it would present to us very clearly what dangers these actually can present to pregnant women and then perhaps the husband or the wife or the uncle or the brother or the sister or the cousin, whoever it may be, will be very mindful of them just vaping or smoking traditionally around the pregnant woman. I'm not condoning it at all, but instead of doing it in her presence, rather go outside, get far away from her and the unborn. So what about that study? What were some of the findings?
Yeah, so we, as you say, we hear that there's all these dangers, but we wanted to actually see that. So what we did specifically is we went into homes. So we had over 1,000 homes, households, and we measured the pollution in their home while the mother was pregnant and when the babies were born after in the first few months of life. We also, interestingly, measured cotinine, the product of tobacco smoke in the mothers and even in the babies as they were born. And we found very shocking results. You know, cotinine is like an insurance test that they do to see whether you're a smoker or not. You know, when you sign up for an insurance and they want to see if you're a smoker. Yeah. So we thought, let's use that and let's see. And I mean, some of the shocking things we found that some of those babies were born with levels of cotinine as high as a smoker. So that means mothers are smoking, they expose. And that exposures are getting to the baby in while they're still inside in the pregnant woman. And then we looked at what those exposures, did they have any association with some of these births, how the babies were born? Mm. And we found that babies who were exposed to these pollutants and tobacco smoke were born smaller, so smaller in size, and babies who are born smaller are more at risk for other health problems. Again, I said, these things that happen early set your lifelong trajectories, how you're going to grow and develop later. So these babies were smaller, and some of those babies they had a double chance of having breathing problems, respiratory problems as they were born. So again, it just highlights that these exposures are there and people probably don't even think about it. So what can we do exactly that? Try and reduce those exposures to mothers. Many of our mothers still smoke when they're pregnant. Mm. So we need to really, really work on interventions, public health, smoking cessation programs that can be accessible to many of our mothers. And not to say, and I think this is very key because people say, we don't smoke, we vape. And vape is a way of stopping smoking. And just to highlight, these harms are across the board with all these products. So that's the thing. Yes. So try and limit those exposures. Mothers can stay away from them. We also need to target our young people, our youth, our adolescents, because they are the next generation. Yeah. And often this is in that age group, in the school-going kids, you know, in the high school children. So that's where we need to give an awareness that what you're actually doing is not just impacting you, but it's impacting next generations. Mm. And then in terms of household pollution, that's often a tricky one because, as I said, many families are living in challenging situations. You know, the people have to make do with what they have for heat. We live in this cold climate of Cape Town, you know. So I think what we try and advocate is for moms to try and stay away, especially pregnant women, stay away from the exposures. Don't get close to all the paraffin and the coal burning. Try and improve ventilation, so open windows if you can after the air becomes smoky. But that's on individual levels. What we need to really aim for is at a government level, and where people have universal access to clean environments, clean fuel at an affordable rate, where people can afford, where they don't have to borrow electricity through a lead, you know, that everyone has access to good, clean home environments.
Professor, if we had happened, say, in the next 2 minutes, two minutes, 30 seconds, about 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, even perhaps a time before I could remember, way before my time, and maybe others also, if a high school learner walked to school dressed in their uniform and they were smoking, that landed the learner in a lot of hot water and trouble. Well, yeah. I mean, we've seen commonplace now. So many high school learners dressed in their uniforms, off to school, leaving in the afternoon after the final bell is rung and the vape comes out, absolutely normal. So are we seeing a scenario currently where the tobacco industry was regulated, the dangers were placed on the packaging, clear for everyone to see, ads got pulled from media, etc., etc.? It's now done in a very different way, but it's not the case with vaping as yet. So do we not have sufficient regulation yet to perhaps reel back what we are seeing in vaping now at the moment?
Yeah, unfortunately, this is something we are really working on. So the tobacco bill that's been in Parliament as a draft since 2018 includes vaping, so that vaping is regulated in exactly the same way as tobacco smoke, that we have the same controls, that there's that it can't be done in public, that it has to, that the sale of vape products cannot be to under 18s. And probably about 6 months ago, we presented again to the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee, again asking that, you know, highlighting these risks. So we really hope it's, at the moment, it's in the government's hands. We're waiting for this bill to be passed where vaping can be regulated in the same way. But I think for educators, learners, I mean, in the high schools that we're associated with, we're trying to get it out there that the schools also highlight again that these rules, you know, you're absolutely right. You wouldn't dare be called a cigarette. So why do young people think they can take a chance with a vape? On the school property or in the toilets. So yes, we're hearing lots of things about how they can hide it in their top pockets and take a little puff while a class is going on. So I think as a community, with our educators, with our young people, we really need to start working. And I think the other thing is that it's marketed in such an attractive way that, you know, vaping is looks attractive. But we need to again highlight the harms of it. It's not an alternative, and it is often a gateway to other, to then getting hooked on tobacco smoking and other drugs as well. So we need to stop it. We can't normalize vaping as something that's, you know, cool and acceptable.
Absolutely right, Professor Anisa Vanker, UCT's Department of Pediatrics.